Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
As Christian said, today's a big one. I'm going to work through it the best I can. For the introduction of this message, I would say that you may be a person today that I fully believe can be set free to have life that you've never had and that you were created to experience. I believe so much in the concept behind the message today that you're gonna see that come out of me a lot. I'm not angry. I'm upset. I'm very passionate about this. As Christian said, this is the last installment of our Unhurried Life series. We've been talking about, hopefully, the idea of life, not just not being hurried. In the summation of this message, I would have liked to have started with, we're going to end with it, and that's okay, because we're going to see a little bit of a rhythm today, as Christian mentioned, about sometimes the end of the story isn't always intended to be the most important part of the story. And so today, we're going to talk about this idea of rest that comes from the creation account. Like Christian said, rhymes and rhythms. There will be no rhymes, but there will be rhythms that we get to see out of the Bible today. And so here's what I want to say before we dive in. There's a lot that we're going to cover today. Today is not intended to cover everything, but it is intended to cover the thing, okay? There will be people here this morning, my prayer is that it's you, that will have eyes that will be open to see what is true, and there will be people in here this morning that will absolutely refuse to listen. That's always true. There's some of us today are going to see the Bible story as we've never seen it before to bring some clarity and a little bit more reality, hopefully, to what I say is the most important thing there can be, which is who do you actually believe that you are? Where did you come from? What is your purpose in your life, in your identity? Why do you do what you do? This is a gospel good news message today that we're going to see from the very beginning of the Bible. Everything that's talked about in the New Testament, the life of Jesus, the good news, the gospel of Jesus is pointing back and fulfilling what I believe God puts into place at the very, 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 very beginning, the introduction of life in creation. Today, I believe that you have the opportunity to embrace life that God has always wanted you to have. I believe that in the inside of every single person, we're constantly wrestling with the truth that we're going to talk about today. What am I supposed to do? Where does life and purpose come from? Where do I find peace? What does it mean to be okay? What do I think about myself? What does God think about me? What does the world think about me? What is it at the core of me, in the inside of me, that motivates me to do what I do and not do? What do I believe about other people? What do I believe about life? The foundational question of why are you here? Is life on purpose? Where do you find it? I believe starts with this message from the text today. So if you want to leave, now's the time, if you're not interested. But man, this is something, before we dive in, this is something that I struggle with. This is the greatest struggle of my entire life, is this conversation today. Do I believe that what God says about me is true? Am I enough? Do I trust him? Or do I get caught in the ruts that I often do now, that I have to earn it, that I have to achieve it, that I have to please other people, that I have to be a person that doesn't enter into life unless I do all the right things or do enough of it, that I fix all the problems, that I don't ever make mistakes, I get caught in this deception and this lie that I have to earn life rather than the reality that it has been given to me? Can I rest in that? I believe that. That's the invitation for you today. So we look into God's word. This will be an introduction, not an entire thesis. But today we get to talk about rest, purpose. We get to talk about what does it mean to be whole and complete? What is my motivation? Why do I do what I do? And today I hope that some of you are set free, that you would receive the truth of the gospel message, the good news of what the Bible teaches about, that today your life would change. For some of you, that you would go back to that which you have first had your love with, that there's a good, loving God that has created you with intentionality and purpose, that in your failures and in your fears, he is still present and he still invites you to receive life that he has offered to us in the beginning. This is a huge message today. I hope you're ready. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The very beginning is where we're going to start. We're going to spend some time. We're going to look at just the first two chapters of Genesis, and we're going to look at this concept of recurring or regular or rhythmic rest. We'll talk about what rest actually means, what it is, what it isn't. We're going to talk about what does it look like to receive rest, to practice rest. Where does rest start? Where does it begin? Where does work start? Earning, achieving, striving, effort, to what end? We're going to look at Genesis. We're going to look at the rhythm. And then we're going to see how God repeats it throughout the entirety of the text, all the way up through Jesus in the New Testament, through the Holy Spirit in the church, and into your life today. But it starts in the beginning. Every reference is a call back to the precedent which God puts into place here. Every story throughout the Bible of history, your story included this morning, is invited to believe what we see here at the very beginning. We're going to do little definitions, and then we're going to reread some stuff. We're going to have some fun with it. We're going to get fired up, and we're going to be convicted. We're going to be encouraged and celebrate. There's going to be lives that are going to change this morning. Genesis 1, verse 1. Here's where we're going to start. It says in the Bible, if you have it, it's going to be on the screen as well. If you want to read it aloud, I'm in the NIV, you can say it with me. Genesis 1, 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says, now the earth was formless and empty darkness. Dark chaos is what it is. It says, and the empty darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. It says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. He said, God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and there was the first day. It's the first five verses of the Bible. We're going to see some rhythms and some things that we go into here. If you were to go through the rest of the entire first chapter of Genesis, I'm not going to do that now, I'd let you read that. We see that God does something routinely over and over and over again. In the first 3 days of creation, in his first three acts, we're going to see that God takes something and he separates it, and then he's going to refill it. So what God does rhythmically is he separates that which is in chaos, that which is in darkness, that which does not have intentionality, that which is circling and looking for life and purpose and identity. God takes something that's good. He separates out the chaos to bring clarity, and he does that three times in a row. He does that with dark and light. He's then going to do it from waters to waters, and then he's going to do it from day and night. Separate, separate, separate. Day 4, 5, 6, he's going to refill. He's going to put into the separation of chaos that which has purpose, identity, wholeness. God takes that which is chaotic to bring clarity, and he puts purpose and value and goodness and identity right in the middle of it, not with the absence of it. What I want you to start to do this morning is thematically see this truth in your life. Have you seen that in God in your life has taken things of chaos and has separated them to bring clarity, to help us understand the purpose and intentionality of good things? And then in the middle of separating chaos, God brings and puts good things in the middle of it to help us understand he does it with purpose. So God separates in the first 3 days, the next 3 days he fills, and at the rhythm and the order of the end of every single of the first 6 days of creation, we see that the first recollection of it is that the first thing was evening, the second thing was morning, and after evening and then after morning, we have the completion of a day. You're going to see that all the way through the first entire chapter of Genesis. Okay, we're going to come back and pull this apart, but God is setting the theme. God separates chaos to bring clarity. He infills in the middle of it value and purpose and goodness. And we're going to pick up in Genesis 1:33 to see what he says about all that. Genesis 1 verse 33, as we look at it, or excuse me, 1:31. He says, God saw all that he had made. This is the end of day six creation. And he said, it was very good. He said it was kind of melancholy, marginally, kind of like wish it could be better. What does God call it? Very good. The end of 6 days, he calls it very good. Now, the first 3 days he separates, the last 3 days he infills. He infills first with the plants and the vegetation of the world. The second thing he infills is animals and creatures and birds and fish. And the last thing that he infills all of creation with, the thing that he does last before he calls it all very good, is he creates what? You. He creates man and woman in the image and likeness of God, the sustainer and creator of all things, the capstone of all creation, the thing that he says and does right before he says that it's very good, fantastically in love with it, is he creates a man and woman in the image and likeness of God to invite into all of creation that he's made. He is put in the middle of what he has intentionally made, man and woman, and he calls every single part of creation very good. Now, at this point, even in our journey, some of you may start to even be wrestling and denying what God already says is true, which is that he has created you with intentionality, purpose, placing value and wholeness and completeness into creation, calling you very good. You know what it feels like when you believe that? Rest. Peace. Wholeness. Purpose. I'm okay. Identity. If we continue on, God says that there was very good. He said there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Chapter 2 says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all of their vast array. Verse 2, by the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had completed. And he rested from all the work. And God blessed the seventh day, making it holy, because on it he rested from all of the work of creating that he had done. So the completion of creation is done in how many days? Six. And on the seventh or full and final day, what is it that God does? He rests. And why does he rest? Because he's tired? Why do you rest? Because you're tired? I don't know. Good question, right? It says that God in the text says that he rested because it was complete. It was finished. It was done. It was very good. No more work needed to be done. No more creating, no more building, no more striving, no more earning, no more tweaking, no more fixing, no more refining. It is good and it is done and it is complete. And God, the creator of all things, God, the creator of all things, yeah, I'm like, you ain't stopping now. It ain't done yet. He rested. Now, even that in its own story has hopefully got something stirring inside of you. As you're starting to ask yourself, why do I do what I do? When do I work? When do I rest? What do I believe? Do I believe that things are good? Do I believe in completeness and wholeness, or do I not? Are you starting to fight a tension inside of you that's more like, well, is it really good? Is it really done? Is it really full? Is there really peace? Is it really enough? Did God really say that? Is that really his offer? Yeah, but you don't know. They did. Here's my circumstances. I wish it would be. Yeah, that's for you. Any other ones I missed? Maybe that's welling up inside of you right now. Okay. We're going to look at the story again. We're going to define a couple words and we're going to reread it again. And people are going to be set free, my hope, as we go through this. So let's talk about what the word rest means. Let's talk about what the word complete means. Let's talk about what the word finished means as we look into the text. So the first word that we're going to see, that we're going to define, that comes from the idea of rest is this word in the Hebrew called Shabbat. Shabbat is what we translate into the word Sabbath. Sabbath is the word that God uses here in creation in Genesis for what he declares and what he does on the seventh day. Now, what did God do on the seventh day? He rested. Okay, so the word does mean rest, but it also means, as we fill out the definition for understanding which leads to application, the word Sabbath or Shabbat means rest. It also means to stop, to cease and desist. Right? Our law enforcement has taken that word, stop, cease, desist, to quit. It also means to remove, to leave. It means to suffer, to be lacking, which means there's pain in the process. It means when you lack or when you stop or when you cease or when you quit, it hurts. It's a very interesting part of the definition. Maybe for some of you, you're like, it hurts too much for me to slow down. It's in the text. Causing to fail also means to celebrate and to keep. There's a positive nature to the word. It's not always stop and quit and don't. It's slow down to cease, to celebrate, and to find freedom in. Okay, that's one of the words. Another word that you're going to see thematically over and over again, and there's different pieces in the Old Testament used in the Hebrew, repeated in a different word in the New Testament, are these two terms that sound similar because they are similar, but they're not the same, but you could see them thematically the same. It's in your notes. Is the word nuach and yanach. Maybe Christian was right. There's a few rhymes. There's a few in here, okay? That's God's doing. Okay, again, these words mean rest. Some of them means to rest. Some of them means to embrace rest. Some of them means to cause to rest. Some of them is to experience rest. The language is three-dimensional, if you will. They're used interchangeably. These words mean, very similar, to rest, to settle down, right? Calm down, to dwell, to remain, to be, to have a space that is created, to occupy, to be in, to experience. That's a different definition of rest, isn't it? Goes on and continues to say, by the definition, that is a to give a light, like lightness. Now, hopefully right now, some of you are hearing these words, you're like, man, I've heard this before. I've heard this theme before. I've heard these ideas before. And what I want to start to introduce you today is that what God calls rest, what God calls Sabbath, what God calls and institutes in the Old Testament, you're going to absolutely see repeated and refined and relived out in the New Testament. When you see things like, remain in me, Jesus says, and you will have life. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you come to me, I will have you experience what this rest is, okay? One last part before we really kind of dive in here to re-go through this again is that when God is complete, he puts us into rest. Genesis 2, verse 15 says, the Lord God put, he took the man and he put, that's that yanach, to place into a space. He put the man and woman in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So here's where we start. We're gonna go back and read this and look at some themes and pull out some really interesting pieces. It says that God, after all of completion, after all of creation, invites all of us to believe and trust that what he has done is good and complete and full. God says that with man and woman, after all of it's done, he places us into a position of rest, into the creation which he's made in the Garden of Eden, and invites us to steward it and take care of it and to work it. So at the very beginning, God places us in a position of what? Rest. Are you a person that lives in a position of rest or not? Or of the opposite? So let's go back and pull some pieces together. We see that there's 6 days of creation and there's a seventh day of rest. At the end or the beginning, this is not a trick question, but it is a powerful message. Let's read it again. We'll give you the answers in it. The answer's in it. We're gonna go back to 1:2-5. 1:2-5. Now we're gonna read verse 5. It says, God called the light day. He called the darkness night. And there was what? It's not up there. Sarah, they're not back there. It says evening and morning and the first day. Which comes first? Evening comes first. What comes second? Morning. What's the start of your day? When does it start? Okay. It's not an accident written in the text. Okay, the Hebrew language speaks this way. The people of Israel, those in the time, would learn this way. Their day begins with the evening and secondarily starts with the day. So they're starting from a position of rest and then working into a place to build and cultivate and start. How does your day start? Your day starts in the morning, not in the evening, right? And then what's the first thing you usually do when you get up in the morning? You get ready to work. How's that usually go? Somebody in first service was like, coffee! True. Drink the coffee, do the things, right? And so our rhythm, and this is no, it's not here nor there, but it is true, okay? Is that in our culture and in our day and age and in our society and in a people that believe that the complete opposite of what God has said, we do not live a life, we do not operate out of a position of rest, we do not start our days, we do not start our lives working from rest. We start our days in work to earn rest. We wake up and we go, what do I have to do and what do I have to accomplish? If you're a person that's retired, this is for you as well. This is not just a physical work, this is a life. Remember, we've already talked about, and I'm getting started here, you better hold on, okay? This is not a thing that you do. This is not a schedule that you keep. There's gonna be objective reality that we're gonna see that the people of God put into place in the Bible. This is an operation of what is inside of you. It's what you believe, it's what you strive for, it's a position of identity, it's what you embrace. You can be a retired person that doesn't have a job and wake up every single day and feel compelled to have to work to earn the life that God has already given you, to strive, to accomplish, to be in control, to fix, to earn relationship. You are in a position to where you have the opportunity every single day, like the very first institution of the story, to decide what is true about you. And if we choose to pick the beginning of every single day to function out of a place of work that leads us to the opportunity to earn rest, we will not receive the life that God has created us to have. Do you hear me today? If you're a person that does work, that does have kids, if you're a youth, if you believe that every single opportunity is for you to wake up and work, to earn life, to earn peace, to earn purpose, you're not going to experience the life that God offers. God says in the text, the very first thing that we are to operate from is that we start with evening and we move towards work. How many of you have had a really terrible night's sleep and then you get up in the morning and you have just a perfect day? It's just so great. You're nice to everybody. You're like, feel tip top, right? Like, I'm amazing. I don't have to convince you of this, right? And then guess what you do? And you just kind of like steamroll all of life and relationships. You're like, listen, I didn't sleep last night. And how's everybody's response? Got it, right? We know that. When you try to function in life out of a position that is not of rest, it doesn't work, does it? Well, it does for me. It will for me. I'm tougher, I'm stronger, I'll do more. I'm gonna grind, right? I'm gonna live the American dream, I'm gonna be more ahead, I'm gonna work tougher, right? All you're gonna do is work in the complete opposite of what God offers you. Which is why in this conversation, it is one of such gravity that you may be able to earn everything that this world has to offer. Power and prestige, money, all the stuff, but you'll be dead on the inside. You'll try to earn that which God has already given you. And the more you try to earn and strive and work and acquire, the less you will have. You can earn the world and lose your soul. Jesus is going to repeat it over and over again. The very rhythm from the beginning of the text says that God says you're good and it's done. Now, what he says, done and complete, you could swap that word with the word peace. Okay? Let's reread the story again. God creates everything. He says it's good and complete. There's peace, purpose, identity. I have created you to function from that space. In order for you to believe that about your life, you will have to trust and believe me. You have to believe me when I say that it's good, that there is enough for you. I have given it to you to steward. You do not have to acquire it and earn it to hold on to it. Will you trust and believe that all of creation, you yourself, and how I've made you, you are enough. You are enough. It's whole and complete. It's good. It's peace. It's life. Will you trust it? That is what the word rest means. Do you see the theme in the text? You work out of rest. Here's what I love, right? In case that's not enough, we'll just do a couple more, okay? So God does that day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. What's the last part of creation that God makes? Us, Okay? What's the very first thing he does after he creates us? Rest. So the very first thing that humanity is entered into after God creates everything, placing them into a position of rest in the middle of all of creation, which has the potential to be chaotic, that God places with peace and wholeness and perfectness in his creation. The very first thing that humanity is invited into, their very first experience with God after that, is he says it's time to rest. The invitation for you, the very first invitation for you in the text is, will you rest in God and with God? The first action on day 7 after the fullness of creation. It's the first invitation, a life rooted in peace that believes that God says you're enough, that offers for us to trust, to not earn, to not build, to not fix, to not have to strive for. The first chapter and a half of Genesis, God sets the precedent. Now, if we are like we are, which we are, lots of rhymes, I'm wrong, okay? You would wager to say, what happens in the story after that? So let's just say that that's true. What happens with the first man and woman? What happens with people? How does the story go? Because I know how my story goes. My story goes that I'm constantly wrestling with this all the time. Every day, every moment that I have the ability is, do I believe, God, that you say that I'm enough? Do you believe is what I have to ask myself. God, do I believe in the midst of the chaos that you've put me in that I can be okay in you? That I'm okay with you saying that there's enough for me, that you'll provide it? Or do I get to be like all the rest of the stories? We're just gonna look at a couple of them because I am like this. Because Adam and Eve, after the very first creation and the invitation and all the things that are said and done and created, life is very good and God's with them and he invites us into rest. He says, I put you in the middle of all creation, right smack dab in the middle of the garden, and you can have every experience of life. I've given it to you to steward. I'm the sustainer of light. I've given it to you to steward. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to build it. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to strive and run after it. You don't have to hurt people for it. Everything there is in creation is for you, and I'm with you, and I'm right there. Just, would you trust me, Adam and Eve? Would you trust me? Just don't reach for that which is more. Don't desire to be the one that says, I am going to decide that. To grasp for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To instead of trusting, to instead of believing, to instead of embracing, to instead of being a person that has that belief and conviction of the core that God is enough, that I'm enough, that the rest of his commands and laws and statutes are gonna prove that, that he's gonna provide for me enough. Am I gonna trust that, or am I gonna be a person that says, the life that is outside of what God invites me into looks good and pleasing to the eye? Did God really say that? Did God really say that to me? Does he really mean that for me? Or do I just have to be the one that I gotta do it? And what do? They eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the precedent for the entire story of humanity, which every single one of us faces that temptation to go, God, I'm not gonna trust you. I'm not gonna trust you. And guess how many reasons we have? All of them. He did, she said, he said, I did, my upbringing, my parents, this thing, that bad thing, all the stuff, all the reasons, God says, I know, because I take chaos and I separate it and I put purpose in the middle of it, not to get rid of it. Would you trust me that I'm gonna be enough for you? And Adam and Eve and you and I and Cain and Abel and Noah and his sons and the patriarchs and Israel and Egypt and all the way through, they don't trust. And the result is that we don't have what? Rest. We don't have it. And we wonder why. And Adam and Eve, I'm like, yeah, but God, did you really say? Man, but those things look better. I just need to know. I gotta be sure, God. Faith is hard. Trust is tough. I gotta control it. I gotta have it. I gotta be the one that knows how. I gotta be the one that provides. I gotta be the one that earns. I gotta be the one that has. I gotta be the one that gives the credit. I gotta be the one that says it's enough. I gotta be the one that people praise. I gotta know that I'm okay based on what the world, it's gotta be me. God, it's gotta be me, not you. The first two pages of the text sets the precedent for the rest. And we see that we get the opportunity to enter into a rest in a creation that has a rhythm of finding life from a position of trust and belief in rest, that starts from rest to work, that we get invited to be in a place of being okay, that God loves me, that I'm gonna fail. And as people fail and as you fail, guess who doesn't? God doesn't. And God's gonna go through the rest of the story showing us that he forgives, showing us that he has mercy, showing us that he understands, but still calling us back to put our faith and our trust in the fact that he says, in my own, I'm okay. I'm enough. I don't have to earn it. And then you're like me, we loop like this. I do it again and again and again. We see that Adam and Eve do that, and we are they. Some of you sit here this morning and that's where you are. You're stuck. You're fighting, you're striving, you're earning, you're hurt. You do not have life. You do not have God's rest. And this is the world we live in because we miss it in the beginning. And then, man, we live in a culture where people are like, go harder, get more. Yes, you just stuff it down. Find life in what you do. Get more money, get more stuff. Make people think you're good. And you're dying, just like I am, when I choose to believe that over what the Bible says. And then I become the next story in the text where Cain and Abel, the offspring of Eve, God says, listen, you have an opportunity. Sin and deception and pain and anger and life that is built on your own is right there. It wants to devour you, it says. The idea that is called sin, which is the rejection of what God offers. It's right there and it's gonna dominate, destroy you, but you can overcome. You can say, God, no, I trust you. God, your way's better. God, I don't want to do that. And if you choose to do that, oh man, it will go well with you. But instead, I can be like Cain and I can say, no, my way's better. My way's better. I want more. I'm grabbing the fruit. I can't. I, me, mine, God, I don't trust you. And I don't have rest and I don't get peace. And I can act in a way not exactly like Cain, and I can go out and say, I'll kill to get mine. God, I will not trust you. And the story repeats throughout the history of the text. You fast forward all the way through God's people in Israel. They're in slavery and in bondage because they have run to the world for their purpose. They have been consumed by the world. They're in slavery to the world. They are in bondage in Egypt. Just like you may be in bondage to your schedule and your debt. You may be in bondage to the relationships of your life. You may be in bondage to your own brain and your own mind that says the only way I have life is to earn it and build it and keep it. That I can't trust that there's enough for everybody. Just like Cain. Abel got a blessing. Cain wanted more. You're stuck in that. And you don't have peace. You don't have rest. You've fought and rejected that God has put you into the middle of something to function from a position of rest. And day in and day out, you say, no. God, no, my way's better. God, you're not good. God, there's not enough. That's not fair. I want what they have. Me, me, me. I. And every day and every decision that I do that, I stand in the face of life and I say, I want death instead. And guess what? That's what I get. Just like you. The gospel is to set us free. That's the song we just sang. No more sin and bondage. Jesus sacrificed his life for us to trust and believe in him. See, there's the cycle. And I said what I said at the beginning of this message for this reason. Some of you right now will not let yourself be set free because you're choosing not to. And you're gonna see that in the story of the Bible. You're gonna see that in Moses with Israel entering into the promised land. God says, I offer you my rest. I invite you into believing it. And it says that a lot of them didn't because they rejected the offer to believe and trust that they're enough, that God's good. That he's sustainer of life, not myself. That he has ways to provide in his timing and in his ways and in his amounts, not my timing and my ways and in my amounts. And here's why I get so fired up for this message, because this is what God calls the people of the church to be, is to see people that are struggling and dying, people that have an abundance, people that have success, people that have been given, so that we can share with those that don't. So those that receive when they don't have will say, God does have enough for me. He has provided a way for me to have life, and I don't have to earn it on myself. I don't have to kill, steal, and destroy others to make sure that I'm okay, because there's the people of God, oh man and woman, who have received from God, and they share it like God does. That's what the church is. And when we don't do that, all we do is invite people into death. Come be dead with us. Jesus says in Easter, take off your death clothes, Lazarus, it's time to live. Today you get to make a choice if you haven't. Today you need to make a choice again. You, oh Christian, would you be a person that says, I believe in life that God has given me, not that I build my own? Guys, the first page of the Bible gives us the invitation that we can be a people that have rest in who God says we are. That what we get when he gives to us, we give to others. That we don't strive and earn rest, that we operate from it. Are you hearing me this morning? Do you have rest for your soul? Do you have peace in Jesus? You trust God or not? Is the invitation of Christianity this morning. It starts in the beginning. The rest of the story tells the story that God is faithful and just and merciful, that he continues to invite us into it, that he grieves and is brokenhearted, so much moved to the position of obstinance and anger when we choose to reject God and hurt ourselves and to hurt other people. It's the story of the Bible over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. God himself humbled himself to come into the flesh to give us the model of what it looks like to have trust and faith. Jesus did nothing unto what the will of the Father said besides that. He said, everything I do is according to what God invited me to do. He has a life of rest, a life of purpose, a life of trust, a life of generosity, a life of sacrifice, not because he's stronger than you, because he trusts and believes in the will of the Father. The rhythm of creation, which leads us to rest, peace, wholeness, completion, comes from the fact that we get to say yes to what God has already done, not yes to what I have to do to earn it and get it. Do you see that in the text today? I hope you are gut wrestling right now. If you're not, I don't have to tell you. I hope you have eyes to see and ears to hear. I hope you have a conviction that leads you to action. I hope you have a hunger and a thirst this morning to find out more and why and how come and what does that Sabbath word mean and what are we supposed to do and how do I do that and who can I invite into and how can I learn and what is my life purpose, or rise and grind on repeat and pick death. And death will lead you to death. You can be dead or you can be alive choosing death daily. For the only thing that never quits is the living water that comes from Jesus, that never runs dry, that is always enough, that brings life and purpose that we are intended to share with other people. You cannot create what God does not give, and what you do create on your own, you probably give to other people. Which is why I get fired up and I look at myself in the mirror and I say, woe to me, and repent, because when I create things that are the opposite of what God is and I invite other people into it, I better be careful. Some of us are choosing a life of rat race, frenetic, over the top, and we love it, and we're inviting other people into it. Let's go, let's go. 50 hours, 60 hours, 70 hours, 80 hours, a mind that never rests, a heart that never rests, a life that never trusts, and we're like, come on, y'all, let's race to the top. Jesus was very intentional with a group of people that invited people to the opposite of what God is. Woe to them and woe to us if that's who we are. Woe to us if we're a person that looks at other people and goes, man, they seem pretty content and restful. They must be lazy. They must not care about anything. They must be content not having very much. Or whatever that may creep into us, to where we may feel like we need to kill our brother and sister to make sure that we're okay. Do you see the invitation today? There's like 2.5 more pages of notes. I guess we'll just keep talking about this. See, the rest of the messages in here, you're gonna see it repeated in Matthew, you're gonna see it repeated in the New Testament, you're gonna see it repeated in the writer of Hebrews, you're gonna see it written by Paul in all of the epistles in the New Testament. They're gonna refer back to what God calls us to experience in life, which is the word or words that he calls Sabbath. as you see the rest of the Bible story play out, you're going to see that God's people take that seriously. God commands people to take a day of rest like he had a day of rest. And he puts it into rhythm and purpose and practice because what we do comes from what we believe. They chose to slow down and rest because they believed and trusted God. And you're going to see that through the law of God that he institutes through Moses and through Israel is that he's putting into place a rhythm and a structure with a concept for people to learn, and then he's going to fully bring it to fruition in Jesus. Okay, a Sabbath day observed is something that God did. It's something that he commanded people to do. It's something that we ought to consider and look at. At the same time, the full fruition of the concept is that Jesus says in the New Testament that man was not created for Sabbath, but Sabbath for the man. Jesus gets challenged multiple times. What are you doing and not doing on your day where you're supposed to rest? And all he's going to do, and we don't have time for the fullness of it today, is he's raising questions to people that are religious over faithful. That they make the day the point, not the rest the point. And Jesus says it's good to do what's good on the day of Sabbath. Now, observing that rest is wise, but observing a Sabbath day does not bring life. It's an obedience that comes from trusting Jesus. See, what Jesus puts us into practice at the end is that when we have faith and trust, our life is to be Sabbath. We are to operate from rest in any moment, in any season, days and weeks and months and years alike, 7 years and 7 years on top of that, you'll see many times in the text. But the invitation, when Jesus says, it is finished, is that he invites us to overcome that deception and that sin, to reject God, to be a people that live restfully all the time in chaos when it's challenging, but with purpose and value and identity that doesn't have to be earned, that is that which we steward, that we would love people with all that we have, believing and trusting God, living a Sabbath life as Jesus shows us as the Lord of the Sabbath. That's all we're going to get to for today. This is a huge topic. I love it. And it's really hard. Here's what I would end with for today, is we're going to spend some time celebrating Jesus in communion. What is it that is in the way of keeping you from trusting God? What is it? Are you like me, where fear is greater than my faith? To where if I'm not observed by other people, then what are they going to think? Is it some of your raising from your family to where maybe all you were ever encouraged or celebrated for was the things that you produce? Winning, getting more, being the best. Maybe you've never been able to experience rest. Maybe you're a person that has never actually had enough. And you don't know what it means to trust to have enough because you've never had it. Maybe you're a person that has not had enough, that looks around to all the other people that have an abundance and you wonder why that's okay. It's not okay. God's never said it's okay. But in the middle of the tension and the trouble, he says, will you trust me? Some of us this morning need to hear, you have so much more than you ever need. And people don't have rest because you won't share it with them. We are to be God's grace in his various forms. And woe to us if we are a people that hoard in abundance to keep people from finding peace and rest when they lack. For blessed are those that mourn, that are the least, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. Even in lack, God shows up. May we be a people that trust to have enough purpose in life and identity in Jesus, to share what he gives us and to be patient when we don't have. Rest is a life we're to live. It's the gospel. Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.